Quick things. I want to thank Roger for suggesting this topic. It is a topic that I think that we definitely need to study. And I also wanted to say he does not need to put himself down. That's our job. We'll do it quite well. We don't need him to do that. But we do appreciate his efforts and thank him so much for the lesson that he brought. It is something we certainly need to do. Now, I did gather something else this morning. I'm assuming that Roger and Cody should stay here to preach, and Glendon was telling me that I need to go and try out in Reno. So that's what I got from that. But anyway, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Peace and quiet. You know, it's an amazing thing. When we're trying to find peace and quiet, it's one of those things that it's very personal to each and every one of us. There are times when you go off in a room, or maybe you're driving down the road and you just want some peace and quiet, and that cell phone rings and you look down, it's somebody you really just didn't want to talk to, because you just kind of wanted some peace and quiet, but you feel obligated to take the phone. Or somebody walks in the room where you are and you think, now why did they do that right now? I just needed some time by myself. Isn't that true of all of us? Everybody's smiling. Yes, it is. We just need that. It is something that God created us that way. It has nothing to do with anything else. And I just pray that the thoughts I bring out today, and I appreciate the prayers that were on behalf of Roger and myself when we get up to preach, and the wisdom that we need to say the things that are right in God's sight. Roger had some things in mind this lesson, and I hope that I bring out some things that are at least some things I don't think like Roger, and Roger doesn't think like me, and that's the reason we all preach differently. So that's one of the things that goes with this, but I hope I bring out the points he wanted me to bring out. He talked about our Lord and Savior while he was on the earth. He accomplished all the works that were planned for him perfectly, and yet, as we pointed out, he was in human form. Since he was in the flesh, he needed to take time to refresh himself. It's, again, just something that the way God created us. There's a reason for all of this, and we too need refreshing. So God, from the beginning, planned times of rest, and we see purpose in that, and he had eternal rest planned back in eternity. That's amazing, isn't it? It's hard for us to think that way. So we need times of quiet and peace while we're on this earth. And how do we do this and please God? Too many of us are concerned about pleasing ourselves during that period of time and not pleasing God. And that's why I kind of said that up front. Isn't it amazing? Maybe that other person needed us at that time. Think of how many times that Jesus maybe needed to be by himself. Maybe needed the peace and quiet, but he didn't refuse any person that came up to him or anything need at that moment. He took care of it because he realized that's also a responsibility we have. What he suggested that I talk about is when we do take these times of peace and quiet, we've got to make sure it's pleasing to God. We can't just do what we want to do. We noted that Jesus did what God wanted him to do. If you read the book of John, you find throughout the whole book of John, he said, I came to do the will of my Father. He submitted himself equal to God in all ways, but yet when he came to this earth, he submitted himself to the will of the Father. That's amazing to us. That doesn't seem right, but it is right. He knows we need to be refreshed because he created us. He talks about this back in the days of the Israelites when he was presenting the law to them. As was pointed out in the prayer by our brother Brad, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings, and keep those words in mind. Exodus 16:23, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. He's actually repeating the same word over and over. Those are the same types of meanings, both of those words. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. A holy rest to the Lord. Bake what you bake today and boil what you boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. He knows we need to be refreshed because He created us. He knows that. So He gave them a Sabbath, a day, a whole day, that they could have some peace and quiet. A day they didn't have to think about what was going on around them. A day that was set aside to, these are the meanings, to cease, desist, to rest, to repose, to desist from exertion. Think about that for a moment. You think He didn't know? Of course He knew. He knew we needed these times of peace and quiet. It refreshes us. It brings us back. He knows we need recovery times. When they went into the land of Israel, when they went into the land of Canaan, after Joshua had taken it all, these groups that had come in with them that had their land on the other side, He says to them when they're getting ready to go back, "And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as He promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan." He knew war, they couldn't continue in this. They needed some time. They needed the land to rest. They needed this opportunity to get some peace and quiet. And then during that, we need the recovery times in Ecclesiastes 5:18-20. As I was putting this lesson together, I thought, how many times have I not recognized this? Here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun. That's what he's talking about. Life under the sun, all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it's his heritage. When I was growing up, one of the times we all had to be together was mealtime. That was a time that we didn't argue with one another. That was a time it was not allowed. When we came to the table, we talked about good things and we talked about things that maybe happened during the day and we enjoyed the meal together. "As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, all the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart." What happened to us? We want some times of peace and quiet with our family. This is a good way to do it. Rather than us all going our separate ways and grabbing our food and running here and there, we need to think about all these times that God has given us, He talks about, that are there for us to bring joy to us, to give us these times of solitude with our family, even though we're with someone else. How do we be pleasing to God? Well, we can't do things that will destroy this temple just because I want to please self, because I need some peace and quiet. I don't do drugs just to have some peace and quiet. I take care of this temple. I don't abuse this temple. I do what I need to do. We see our Lord and Savior didn't do that. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It all belongs to God. If we could recognize that. We were talking in the class, our class in the back this morning, about this same subject matter, about the Prince of Peace. And what it really means, and what peace really means. Peace doesn't mean that I'm going to get along with everybody on this earth. Peace really means that I have peace with God. That's what gives me the moment of peace and quiet, isn't it? When I recognize I have a relationship with God, I've kept my relationship with God. Sometimes we need alone time. In Philemon 22, I thought of this about Paul. He said, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." I thought, when he got there, he wanted a separate room. Paul was a hard worker in the kingdom. He knew his needs. He knew he needed this time of solitude to be with his Lord and to be with his God and to spend time in prayer and also, I'm certain, on times of fasting and other things that he did. Again, with this idea of alone time in Psalm 56, 6-8. You ever felt this way? "So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." I've often commented to Linda, she can tell you this, that there's been many a time it wouldn't bother me the least bit to fly off to a mountain and be there with her, or even at times by myself. I wonder why we feel that way. Our Lord and Savior flew off to the mountain, if you will. He needed this time. He was struggling, David was. He had all these enemies about him. He had all these things of the world just crashing in on him. And he says, "I just need to get somewhere." and Biba myself. And he didn't mean by himself. I don't think on one occasion here we're talking about being by ourselves. We're talking about being with God by ourselves, with Him. We want the peace that comes with being with Him. I think we would want to hasten our escape from the windy storm and tempest, as you talked about in your lesson when your children... Oh, I've got a granddaughter. She gets so scared during high winds. You can't talk her out of it. It doesn't really matter. There's just something about that. She needs to get off, and she wants to get into a little corner. And she wants to climb into those cabinets like you talked about and be by herself sometimes. It's amazing, isn't it? Children know that. Why don't we? It has to be pleasing to God, and sometimes He knows we need company time to get refreshed. I need some people. I think sometimes I could be by myself, and other times I realize I could not be by myself. I like people. It's nice being around people. And he said Philemon was one of those people that had refreshed the hearts of other people in Philemon 7. He was the type that when you were with him, you had some peace and quiet. He didn't bring into your world all of these bad things and all of these would rile you up. You can just picture Philemon being that type of person. He talked good things to you. He talked about your relationship with God. He brought out the best. So those are some things to be pleasing to God. Well, He already knows. He already knows what we need. He knows we need all of these things, so He's made it possible. Roger also suggested that I talked about when we do get our peace and quiet, we have to make sure that we're staying away from the world. We cannot do it according to the way the world does it. We know how the world does it. When choosing this recovery time, do I include God in my plans? Well, James 4, 13 through 17 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow." Isn't that what we do? I'll go into the city and spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen, for what is your life? Is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We don't see life depart from bodies. People die in front of us and yet we never saw it. We didn't observe anything other than the fact that they're no longer alive. They have nothing that keeps that body going. It just doesn't happen anymore. It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while. And it does just vanish away. The body's still there, but the life left. So what should we do? Well, we ought to say if the Lord wills. When we're making our plans, when we want some time alone, we do it according to the way God wants it, and we give Him all the credit, and we say to Him, if it is your will. Do I use the time, though, to get closer to the world rather than God? I hope not. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are all of the world, and not of the Father. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but the will of God abides forever. Now think about this for a moment. How does most people think they get their peace and quiet? Well, they think they get it through doing things that pleases them. He mentions three things here. Is my choice based on the lust of the flesh? Am I more concerned about myself than I am about what I need to be doing that's correct in God's sight? Did Jesus do that? I say to you in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. So whether it's we're going on a vacation or we need some time, do we go places where the flesh is tempted to sin? What do we do? Do we choose places like Jesus did where He's away from sin? He's away from the world? He's away from things? Or do we like to go and to mingle with them because that's the way we get our peace and quiet? Do we like to please the flesh? You think of Eve. One of the things that appealed to her about that fruit was it was good to eat. It appealed to her. It was good for her. She didn't consider the fact that it was forbidden. It's what we get into. How about my choice based on the lust of the eye? In Matthew 18:9, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Do I seek my peace and quiet by looking at things that I shouldn't look at? Maybe again we take the family to a beach where 3/4 of the people are totally undressed. And we expect our children not to lust. We really want them to get their peace and quiet that way. Do we take them places where they see things they shouldn't see? I think again of Eve. She looked at the fruit and it was good to look at. Oh, it's great to look at. But it's not where we get our peace and quiet by getting around the world and staying with the world. We need to make better decisions. That's not the way to get closer to God. That's not the way to have peace with God. Is my choice based on pride of life? James 4:6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do I go places where it lifts up my pride? It makes me feel good. I come back and talk about what I did, and I'm so proud of the fact that I was able to do that, and maybe you're not able to. It's not what this is about. Now, think back on what Roger talked about our Lord and Savior. Let me ask you a question. Would He have chosen any of those? Would He have gone a place where His eye saw things that caused Him lust? Would He have gone where the flesh was tempted to sin? Would He have gone to do things that would have lifted up His pride? No. And then the last point, Roger talked about getting the light back in our life, basically, and I used it like this, it's getting my positive back. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. I know not a one of you is negative in this room about anything. Would that be a true statement? No. See, we need to use this time to get these negative thoughts away from us. We're not like our Lord and Savior in that He is perfect in thought and action and teaching and everything. I'm not perfect in that. I have to work on this because there are so many negatives in life, aren't there? Have you ever maybe laid down to take a nap and you got up and you said, I just couldn't sleep. I had too many things on my mind. No, we never do that. Have you ever laid down to sleep at night and said, I can't sleep. I've got to do something else because I've got... Do you know why? All those things are negatives in our life. If it's causing us not to sleep, it's a negative. It's not a positive. Oh, I was thinking about things I've got to do. Well, then you're making it a negative because you've got tomorrow, don't you? Or maybe you don't. If the Lord wills, you'll have tomorrow. Think back on what we've already talked about. Think about this for a moment. What we need to do is get those away from us. You know, when people ask me, I wish I followed my own advice as well as I can give it, by the way. When people ask me on this, I say, did you take the time to pray? How did Jesus do every one of these, Roger? He did it through prayer and fasting. He prayed when the time came. He understood, didn't he, what to do, who to talk to, and how to arrange all this. Perfect example for us. In the 37th Psalm, 7 through 11, this is it. Wouldn't this make you sleep better if you read this every night? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Can you handle everything, folks? No, you can't. I can't handle it. There's times I can't handle a lot of the things that are on my list. And Linda will tell you that I can do this, talk about it better than I can do it. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. This is it. You want some peace and quiet? Turn things over to God. Leave them alone. Pray to Him when you can't sleep. Ask His help to get those things out of your mind and get back to the positive again. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. God will take care of all those things. That's what the psalmist is saying. God will take care of it. Wait patiently on Him. Let Him take care of these things. And then specifically, he's talking about certainly those that are enemies of God. And so Jesus uses this in the New Testament, does he? But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's what it's all about. We're the inheritors of the earth. We have an abundance of peace. Let the peace of God dwell in you richly. And they use it for time to get closer to God. In Jeremiah 6:14-17, they didn't try to get closer to God. As a matter of fact, they did it a whole different way. They were yelling, peace, peace, when there was no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that why we come together to find rest for our souls? One of the reasons? We get our rest. We get our refreshing. We get our time together here. That's what it's about. But they say, we won't walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. You want to not have peace and quiet? Be like them. That's what he said, Abe. You want to be like that? I won't bring you peace and quiet. You know what he brought? Destruction. He destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He took them into captivity because they wouldn't look to the right source. They didn't get positive. They didn't get closer to God. In Isaiah 32:15-18, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. If we do what God wants, as I told him in the class this morning, we have true peace. We want peace and solitude, do what God wants you to do. You can have it. You can have peace and quietness. My people, he's talking about a future time, will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Where do we rest quietly now? In the Lord's church. Not in this assembly. I'm not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as one of the saved ones being in His church. Isn't it wonderful? We actually have it. We actually have it. And we need to realize it more and more. And then, while I'm going through this process, getting closer to God, using it as a time to get my positive back, I need to use it for a time to prepare to get back to work. What did Jesus do immediately afterwards? What did Roger say? He immediately goes right back to work, doesn't he? As hard as he ever worked before. In Proverbs 3:5-6, passage we use the first part a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. You want some peace and quiet? Let Him direct our path. If I want some peace and quiet, I need to let Him direct my path when I'm spending some time with Him. In Proverbs 16:1-3, the plans of the mind belong to a man. That's where they originate, isn't it? That's why we get these thoughts wrapped up in our head, and that's why they're all jumbled up, and we're trying to sort them out, and we're trying to figure out what am I going to do next? How am I going to accomplish? But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Who actually gives the wisdom? It's God. Who actually tells you how to accomplish things? It's God. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the Spirit. And this is what it's about. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Do you know why Jesus knew he could accomplish it? They were working together. There was no division among them. They were doing exactly the same thing, accomplishing the same thing, following the plan that had been from the beginning. Jesus knew it completely, and He followed it completely. And He did exactly everything as He should do it, and there was no guile in His mouth when He did it. We can be the same. We need to commit our work to the Lord. We need to let Him take over what we cannot do, and then use it to prepare for the eternal rest. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Yep, sometimes it's hard to lay down and get some rest because we do have a lot on our mind. We're not willing to turn it over to God, and we're not willing to put it aside. We want to hold it. We want it right there because nobody else goes through what I go through, and I just want to be aggravated, and I don't want... No, that's not the way it should be. The truth is, God took care of all of this. He made it so when life is over for me, I can have eternal rest. I can have eternal peace and quiet, as Roger pointed out. I don't have to concern myself anymore. There will be no thoughts about this life. I need to do all of these things to make sure that I can get my positive back. Get these negative things out of my mind. Quit thinking about them all the time. Quit bringing them up. Quit talking about them. There are times when things are negative. Let's give those things to God. Let's talk to Him about them, and let's let Him handle them. Amazing. I did not know that Roger was going to use that particular passage. He gave me a little bit of what he was going to talk about, but we both talk about the same thing. True rest comes from Christ. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want the rest now? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not a Christian today, I'm going to say it one more time. I honestly hope you get no rest, and you will not until you do what God says. That's what He said. You won't do it. You've got to yoke up with Him, as Roger said. You've got to be in harness with Him. You've got to be doing exactly what He wants you to do the way He wants you to do it. He is the lead in this. If you want to talk about an ox, He's the lead. We the followers. We're going to do whatever He says. Did He ask a lot? Didn't He come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins? Wasn't He resurrected from the dead? Didn't He do all of the heavy burden and all the heavy lifting and all the pulling? He actually, when we're yoked with Him, He's pulling us along. We're trying to follow the best we can, but we need Him so much in our lives. Once we accept His invitation to come to Him in obedience, we can have rest for our souls. As someone once said, you can go home after you become a Christian and you can lay down on that pillow and you can say to God, I'm turning it all over to You. Give me rest. And you can go to sleep. Knowing that now you have eternal peace with God. You've taken care of everything you need to do. You have said to Him, I know You died for my sins. I know You're the Son of God. I am willing to confess that, and I'm willing to turn from the direction I'm going. I will get away from sin for You. I will do the best that I can, and then when I do sin, I'll turn it right back over to You. And I understand that I need to follow a pattern of what You did. Death, burial, and resurrection. I am dead in sin. I need to be dead to sin. I need to be immersed in water for the remission of my sins and come up out of that water a new creation. Isn't it amazing how God uses all these figures so that we can clearly understand why He wants us to be immersed in water to get rid of our sins? We have to know that, though. We have to know that when we're immersed in water, it has to be for the remission of our sins because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Today, have you done that? Have you found rest in Christ? As a Christian, let's make a greater effort to take the advice that Roger gave us. To be like our Lord and Savior. To do and find peace and quiet the way God wants us to. And we have multiple avenues that God has given us to be able to do that. And every one of them has to be right in His sight or we will be doing sin. So let's make sure we do them correct. If you have any needs, we'll be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?
Oh, God, thou helpest sorrow.